Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Joe Reeves, with Inverse.
Welcome to our last episode of Growing in a Relationship with God. This has been our season at Inverse, our Bible study this season, and we've been having a great time in the Word and hearing from each other about our lives and growing ourselves in a relationship with God. I'm joined at the table again by my friend Paul, who is with us. You've gotten to know him too, and you've gotten to know Sister Sharonette as well. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you back. And RJ. And this is the last episode already of this quarter. Can you believe it? Is there anything so far, we're at the end almost. What has stood out to you this season as we've studied growing in a relationship with God?
I have loved the emphasis we've placed on the basics, on prayer, on finding a relationship with God, knowing God through Scripture, revisiting the importance of witnessing, sharing our relationship with God, the good news of the Bible. What an encouragement in each of these to continue a walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, like Paul says, you know, the basics, right? The fundamentals of Christianity, of our walk with Christ, because I feel like if we don't have that foundation, you know, then we miss the whole point, which is Jesus mm-hmm. and truly getting to know who Christ is as a friend for myself.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's actually hearing the testimonies of how God is working in each individual lives, mm-hmm. both now and in the past, and seeing Amen. How, wow, you know, there's power in the gospel, mm-hmm. you know, there's power to change lives. So
something that's really spoke to me, we looked at a few stories of the religious, such as Pharisees or the Laodicean message, and those that have been Christian maybe their whole lives, mm-hmm. but need a total reality check on their relationship with God. Well, mm-hmm. we also studied that passage from the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And many come to me saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in thy name? And it convicts me as somebody who's grown up and been raised as a believer. Well, I actually need to check my own relationship with God, even mm-hmm. if I've been a pastor or anything else, mm-hmm. it could be much weaker than I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's
and
true.
And so it's a wake-up call for me. Amen. Amen. And on the opposite side of that, encourage that none of us are so far away that we can't come back to God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
So glad about that. There's hope.
The Lord.
That's yeah. right.
So, well, this episode is Into Eternity. And Paul, will you pray for us?
Yes. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the blessing of studying the Bible together. We thank you for the hope we have in Scripture. Lord, we've all season long, we've talked about a relationship with you. We thank you that one day that relationship will not just be something we talk about, but we'll be able to see you one day, fellowship with you in person. We ask that as we study together today, that the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're reflecting on the promises of the Bible today that promise us this relationship with God that we will have with him in eternity mm-hmm. when we are in his physical presence, face to face with him.
Yeah.
Sharonette, can you read to us about that from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5?
Okay. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. It mm-hmm. says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
You know, I don't know how it's like for our viewers. Maybe when you think about the future, you feel it's daunting, it's scary. Maybe you feel excited, maybe you feel hopeful. Maybe you feel a blend of all those emotions together. But that's why it's important that we have a proper orientation to the future and the ultimate future that God has prepared for us. And what is that, RJ? These verses that we've just read.
Yeah, no, for me, what sticks out for me in these verses is two things, right? The very first thing is when Jesus comes back, when we get to heaven or the new earth, we will have no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, right? Because, you know, I don't know if I told you, Brother Joe, but my wife and I, in our personal ministry, we actually help out women and little children, especially that who has been trafficked. And when we've been studying this and we've been helping out these children and things like that, it breaks my heart how someone can go through this and go through this pain. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and I just when I read these verses, you know, I just like to encourage whoever that's out there that's going through some pain or sufferings or trials, that remember there will be no more pain once Jesus comes back for us. Amen. And I kept, so it's not daunting, it's not scary, but it's very hopeful. Mm-hmm. Right. And another thing is, you know, a preacher, I once heard a preacher once preach a sermon on this. And then he said, you know, what if, like, you know, you can have all heaven and all heaven there is with heaven, you know, you can have, you know, no more pain, no more death, the streets of gold, you can have eternal life with just a pure joy and great bliss and highest degree of happiness, but there weren't no Jesus there. Mm-hmm. How would you feel? Would you still be excited to go there? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. And that's why it says here in verse 3 that behold, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he would dwell with them, mm-hmm. and they shall be his people, and we will finally see Jesus face to face. So for me personally, you know, that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. Yes, not just, you know, the sufferings and the pain and the sorrow, but just being with Jesus, you know, just getting to talk to him, because of the relationship that I've had with him here. It's almost like FaceTime, you know, we're just doing a FaceTime and it's just like a phone call, text message, but then there we'll actually be with him. And I'm looking forward, Brother Joe, of how that feels. Looking forward to it.
For sure.
This is wonderful. What we've read is the promise of this is what all of creation is longing for. This is the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 18. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Somehow written deep into the DNA of creation of this world itself is this hope, is this waiting anticipation that one day we will be delivered from the shackles of sin, from the effects of sin, and that the Lord will make all things new again.
Amen. And there's so much pain and there's so much sorrow in this world. It's hard to imagine that this promise is a total reset.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No more blank. No more blank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No more blank.
Right.
This sorrow, this pain, this death behind us is a whole nother world that we've never experienced yet.
Yeah. Our human everything we do is bound by temporality. Mm-hmm. You think of growing a garden. You think of raising a great life work. And you know that one day you're not going to be there. What will become of this garden?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What will become of my life's work? Mm-hmm. And we all, I think, come to a point and we accept that this garden will be raised over. Maybe someone will bring a development. Maybe a tenement will go up here. We don't know.
Yeah.
The Lord promises that a day is coming when once again we will all be in the garden of God. Once again, we, you know, the work of our hands will be established on that day. The temporality of life, that time will end. The great sadness of life is that it is temporary and that goodbyes are inevitable. That is the end of that God promises the relief of that.
That's right.
And honestly, I mean, I guess mental health again, right? There's a lot of my patients that come and there's a lot of insecurity, you know, the unknown. And I mean, I share with them in a very subtle, you know, tactful way that all these things are temporal, but it's really hard when we don't have, you know, the Word of God as our foundation.
Yes.
Right. That's why it's important for us to study and to claim these promises and to hold on to them, realizing that there is an end to all these things. You know, there will be an end. God will not allow these things to continue. Yeah. Sin will not rise again a second time.
Amen. And then for those who are going through some sufferings, and there may be some people there and the viewers that are going through that, mm-hmm. you know, one of the promises that comes up to my mind is where these sufferings in this world shall not be compared mm-hmm. to God's glory or what God, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but basically for all the sufferings in this world will not even compare to when we get to heaven.
Mm,
you know,
that's true.
We will forget all of that. Literally mm-hmm. everything that we went through here, mm-hmm. when we get to heaven, it's like, I don't remember none of that, but man, this is, it's just, you know, so whoever is going through some trials right now, just remember, you know, this is just for a little while.
Right.
It's just for a little while, and God will get you through it. And then there will be a time that there will be no more suffering.
Amen.
You know, when I hear Sharon read these verses and these mm-hmm. promises, mm-hmm. I've heard them before, and they thrill me every time. It's almost like when I hear, I'm like, wow, is that really true? Mm. Is that really going to be that way? You know, and mm-hmm. and then I love verse 5 because mm-hmm. it says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'"
Amen.
And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You can take
Beautiful.
It to the bank.
That's right.
You can believe it.
Yep.
You can plan your life around it. Your
That's
future.
Right.
You can have complete confidence
mm-hmm.
in this. It is true. It is faithful. And it is going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so
Amen.
Glad for that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Go ahead.
I years ago, I think when I was a kid, I watched this documentary called Prisoners of Hope.
Mm. Okay.
And it was a documentary of United States fighter jet pilots in the United States Air Force that had been shot down over Vietnam during the Vietnam War.
Mm.
And they had been taken captive, and they were prisoners in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Mm.
And in this prison camp, there was a number of different sufferings that were going on. They had lost weight, lack of food, and there was some torture, and there was, and many of them really didn't, they'd been in there for years. They didn't think they'd ever see their families again.
Mm-hmm.
Been years since they seen their children, since they'd seen their wives. There was mental health problems, you know, and mm-hmm. these kinds of conditions.
Yeah.
And, but their captor said, "Well, we've reached a peace with an agreement with the United States, and you're going to be released."
Mm.
And they didn't believe it.
Mm. Wow.
Because they'd been there so many years. They said, "No, we're gonna die here."
Mm. Wow.
But they prepared just in case, you know. And so, is this really true?
Yeah.
You know, and down to the day, they said, "No, on this day, we're going to turn you over to American control."
Mm.
And if that happens, they can see their children again. They can see their wives again. They think, no, that it's not going to happen. And but the day came, and they brought the prisoners out into the courtyard, and thought, mm-hmm. is this really happening? And there's an American commander there, and they
wow.
transfer them to American control. Is this really happening? They think they're dreaming,
mm-hmm.
and that this is not possible. We're actually going to live to see our families again. And they go out to the tarmac, and they're going to get into this cargo passenger military airplane, and fighter jet pilots don't like cargo pilots, you know, like fighter jet pilots, they think they're way better. And, but that cargo plane was the most beautiful plane they'd ever seen, you know, and they walk into, and I listened to one of the guys on this documentary talk about the moment that these prisoners go into the cargo plane, and none of them are saying a word. They're not really sure if they're in a dream, if they're actually going to see their family again. Nobody's saying a word. Everybody goes into the plane, and complete silence in the airplane.
Wow.
And the door shut, and the plane comes, and it comes to the end of the runway, and then the engines rev up, and that plane goes down the runway, quiet as a mouse.
Wow.
Nobody's talking.
Wow.
And as soon as the wheels go off the runway, the airplane just erupts. Mm. Everybody starts shouting, crying, screaming, just hugging each other. They can't believe it's actually true.
Wow.
They're actually going to see their wife again, their children again. It's actually reality.
Yes.
And they were flown back to see their families again. And that to me is like a picture of the second coming. I mean, it's like a small teardrop of emotion compared to what we're going to feel when we see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven and say, it's actually real.
Amen.
That's right.
I actually get to go home with him.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I'd like to add on to that. for those, you know, who've lost family members, you know what I'm saying? Like that, like for me, I lost, you know, two close family members. One is my father about six or seven years ago. And I will definitely, I'm going to see my father again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, it's just so much, so beautiful so hopeful, you know? Mm-hmm. And my nephew who actually died when he was only like not even 1 year old. Mm-hmm. And then I will also see him too as well. So mm-hmm. that there's that hope where you not only see Jesus, but it's also a reunion, you know, with the mm-hmm. people that you've longed and you've missed for a long, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, the prophet Isaiah captured some of this, almost the disbelief of, mm-hmm. of what's happening. He says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Mm-hmm. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." What we think simply defies possibility is what the Lord will do for us. Mm. A road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. What the future that God has in store, I think, is beyond our comprehension to make us new. The Apostle Paul not only promises resurrection of our bodies, he says that our bodies will be like unto Jesus' glorious body, no longer bound by decay and death.
Right.
And what will that be?
Yeah,
to rise up into a new body that mm-hmm. does not experience being tired, that is fully healthy,
Amen.
A glorious body, to be gifted that. And more than anything else, that we will be given God's greatest gift, eternal life.
Amen.
It's incomprehensible to us today what that will be like.
Right.
And this is the future that God has in store for
us. And I can't wait for one of the things, Brother Paul, is I remember when I was young, you know, I used to watch these, you know, cartoons. And one of the things I used to watch was, and I'm not saying watch it now, but Dragon Ball Z. You know what I'm saying? Like, these characters would just fly to different planets and go there and this and that. And then I'm thinking in my head, man, is that even possible? And then when you read the Bible, that thing is possible. You know, we'll probably be flying, going, you know, we'll be flying to Jesus, going to different worlds. And, you know, I heard somebody say, oh, you know, I don't want to go to heaven. And I'm like, why? And then they're like, well, heaven is going to be boring. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you going to do for all eternity? I'm just like, man,
like play on harps.
I know, play on harps. And they don't understand that, man, we will go to different worlds, mm-hmm. different planets, talk with Jesus, talk with, you know, I can't wait to talk to Paul, you know, what happened with him, you know, and all, like, you know, all of these Bible characters, David and things like that. Like, we're just going to have so much to do and have the highest degree of, imagine you're the greatest day of your life, times that by infinity for in eternity. You know what I'm saying? That's just how we're gonna be in heaven. That's, to me, I can't even wrap my mind around it. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I think for me, what I look forward to is being able to share what God has done in my life.
Mm.
Like, to testify that God is good.
Amen.
God is good, and He means to do good. And you know, in Revelation, it says, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life.
Mm.
And that's the beauty of, like, being able to be in heaven and being able to share, like, I experienced God for myself.
That's right.
And be a witness up mm-hmm. there in heaven, because you mm-hmm. can't, you're not going to be able to witness anymore after that.
That's true.
I think the first thing that shocks me about heaven is what will be different.
Something
we've talked about it, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. The next thing that shocks me about heaven is what will be the same. Because Isaiah says we'll be planting vineyards, we'll be building houses.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so this is a real place.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll be eating. We'll be eating from the tree of life.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why when you read the rest of Revelation 21 and 22, it's like, okay, the city is going to be 12,000 furlongs on one side, on both sides. It's a square. It's giving actual dimensions. It's naming 12 different kinds of stones the foundation is made of. It's give the 12 gates. These are real. This is not imaginary.
I love that.
I'm sorry, RJ. It's not a cartoon.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. It's real.
It's a real city.
It's real. Yeah.
Amen.
John's writing it in a way to let us know the reality, the physicality of it.
Yeah.
After he goes through the physicality of the city, And you can read Revelation 21. I was reading on the way to work this morning, just listening to it over and again. on audio and just loving this chapter. After all the physicality, then in Revelation 22, verse 4, they shall see his face.
Amen. Mm. Love it.
Imagine love the physicality of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't even. Yeah, that's why the Bible, you know, the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared to them that love him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of my favorite verses. I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:9 or 2 Corinthians 2:9. But it's just like, man, like we can't even comprehend it. Like we can't even imagine the magnificence of what's getting ready to come to us. And I'm looking forward to it. And that's why I praise God for this, you know, the studies that we've been doing these past, you know, few weeks is, you know, about growing that relationship with Christ and building that relationship with Christ, because that is the actual preparation of us to get to heaven is a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'm privileged to be in this work with you guys.
But as I listened to Revelation 21 and 22 on the way to work again and again this morning, I was reminded listening to these words that the author is also reminding us that not all people will be inside the gates.
Mercy.
Inside the walls.
Yeah.
So it describes a couple times those that are left outside. And I think we need to read this because we need to check ourselves, because we know there's going to be people who believe, anticipate, they will be on the inside of the city. Mm-hmm. And here they are on the outside. So it comes first, Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So not everybody comes inside these walls. And then again at the end of the chapter, Revelation 21, verse 27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that's why we've been studying this quarter, because we want to be written in the Lamb's book of life. So maybe we can reflect in the last few minutes, like, how can we be on the inside of these walls?
I think great. This is a great question. And for us daily, and I take this from Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Simple verse. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. I love how the King James Version renders this. It says, set your affections on things above. This is a call to reorder our desires. If we desire things, if we develop a taste for things that are heavenly, we are going to find that when we get to heaven, oh, this is what I have longed for all my life. If we desire things that are evil, that are part of that list that you shared, Joe, if we were granted entrance into heaven, it would be a living hell for us, because our desires have not been the things that are of Christ or of the new heaven and new earth. Right now, at this moment, we are given the invitation to orient our hearts heavenward, to develop the desires that God wants us to have, to be transformed in our thinking. All the things that we studied about in this season are the things that bring us and orient our hearts in the direction of heaven. Prayer, reading God's word, sharing the gospel with others. Each one of these things, repenting, confessing sin, all of these things bring us into alignment with that heart that is prepared for heaven.
And honestly, just to tag along with what you said, when you read verse chapter 22, verse 4, you said, they shall see his face. And then, but you didn't read, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That means the frontal lobe. And one of the people that will not be in heaven are those liars. The lies. So what are the lies that we believe about ourselves? We believe about God. We believe about other people. Because those things are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is God saying here? It's saying, I want you to believe truth. And Christ is the way, the truth, right? And so it's important that as we meditate upon the word of God, right, that truth will sink in. It says repetition deepens the impression. The more we study the word of God, the more it sinks in. His name shall be in our forehead. That's in our frontal lobe. That's our reasoning, our decision. God doesn't want us to enter the kingdom of heaven just blindly. He wants us to reason, to understand that his word will stand fast and will never be destroyed in any way. So,
Amen. For sure. That's true. Yeah, so really, really good
point. And that's why we need the word to cleanse us of those lies that we have told ourselves or believed about ourselves. Accept his cleansing power, his forgiveness, as we've studied in previous episodes, and reset our thinking so that we're ready for this reward that God has prepared for us.
Amen.
And then in the closing chapter, Revelation 22, he repeats a number of times, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Mm-hmm. This tells me I need to be ready today. Mm-hmm. I need to be right with God today. Mm-hmm. I need to bow down before him today and have my heart right with him. And the final appeal is perhaps verse 17, Revelation 22, 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely."
Amen.
And so that's God's invitation to us. And it's available to any one of us. Nobody needs to count ourselves out. Yeah. The water of life is there for us to freely drink from.
Amen.
And we can be on the inside of the city.
Yeah. For each of us, if we don't live to that day when Jesus appears in the clouds, the moment we close our eyes in death will be the close of a chapter for us. The next instant we open our eyes, which to us will not be hundreds of years, but it will be as if a second passed from when we close our eyes. A moment later, our eyes will be opened and we will see Jesus return. And that will be to us that moment when we are reunited with him. Our hope is that the promise in Jeremiah 31 is ours, that the Lord will have written his law on our minds and hearts, that his will become so much a part of us that we reflect his glory.
Amen.
And that's our desire. And that's our appeal to you. So that are watching, have journeyed with us this season, I appeal to you to identify those things that stand between you and God and find a way to call in the name of Jesus, get those things out of the way, and get to Jesus. Allow him to save you. Allow him to work in your life so that we can spend eternity with him. That's why we've been studying this quarter, Growing in a Relationship with God. And we thank you for watching with us. We invite you back next week. We'll be starting a new season, studying the closing scenes of Christ's life. And we're going to be studying those last few days of Christ's life and learning from those scenes of his life what it means for us and how we can have faith and exercise the faith that he had, the confidence that he had in God. God be with you wherever you are watching. Thank you for being with us. God bless.
You've been listening to Inverse, a dynamic Bible-based conversation led by your host, Joe Reeves. Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. While there, join us, like us, heart us, give us a thumbs up. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Until next time, this is Inverse.